Brother Joe, I'm going to use this a little bit. I didn't put the lapel on, but it's the plain. Take your Bibles, turn to Psalms chapter 18. Psalms chapter 18. I believe I'll use that along the way here this morning. But Psalms chapter 18, and I'm going to read just three verses. I wish I could go ahead and go through the whole chapter here. It's such an amazing chapter. Amazing verse, talking about our God, if you will, and how great he is. But in verse number 3, you'll see it's our text verse this morning. And I'm going to speak to you on the subject. I'll just get right down the title, then we're going to get right into the preaching here in just a moment. He is worthy. He is worthy. You'll see a little statement, and we'll read it in just a moment. Verse number 3, he is worthy to be praised. You know, he's worthy of every breath that we give, that we blow, if you will. He's worthy of every bit of our time. He's worthy of our every effort. He's worthy of every day that we have. He is worthy. Let's stand for the reading of the Word of God. Psalms chapter 18. We'll go ahead and read three verses. I think since it's just three verses, and it's a familiar passage to many, we will go ahead and read them together. Psalms chapter 18. You have it, say amen. You don't, say oh my. Okay, you got it. Amen. Psalms chapter 18. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. Now, Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for today, God. And what I'm about to do, I cannot do it in and of myself, Lord. I need you. God, I pray that right now all distractions would be set aside. I pray that we wouldn't worry about what's going on the outside of these walls, or what's going on at home or whatever. I pray right now that every single one of your people will be here with a sincere desire, heart, to get something from thee. I pray, Holy Spirit, you'd fall in a mighty way and touch every heart, touch each heart, the need that they have. Everybody has certain different needs here. And Lord, you are capable. You are capable to go ahead and calm every need and take care of every need, Lord. I pray, God, you'd bless in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. God is worthy. He is worthy. He is worthy to be praised in verse number 3. This psalm was originally a song to glorify the Lord and to honor him for delivering David from King Saul and from all of his enemies. David wrote the psalm when his enemies lay defeated at his feet. David had been given the victory, and he wanted to express his gratitude to God for his glorious provision. David, during this time, he was running from Saul. During this particular time of this writing, he was in constant danger of death. Now he's been delivered from all his enemies, and he lifts up his voice to pray and praise to God who has given him the victory. This is a victory song. This particular psalm is a victory psalm. It's a song as well. This particular psalm is David's song of victory. But let me just stop and say this. Just as sure as David wrote this under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, we too can have victory this morning. If you're saved this morning, you've already got victory. You got victory over death. You've got victory over hell. You're saved. You're on your way to heaven. That's something to shout about, amen? That's something you get excited about. You know, when was the last time you got excited about your salvation? Amen. You're saved. On your way to heaven, you think about that for just a moment a little bit. I got this pulpit now, this mic a little bit. You think about it for just a little while this morning, that you have victory. You're on your way to heaven. Nothing can change that. Nothing can change the fact that you're on your way to heaven. In my Father's house of many mansions, if it were not so, he says, I would have told you. But he says that then he says, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will also come again, receive you unto myself, and where I am, there ye may be also. That's a promise. You think about that for just a moment. You know, you could be here this morning, and you can be way down here in the valley, and boy, the finances aren't all that great. And, you know, I got a loved one that's ill, and I might lose my job, or, you know, this may happen, or that may happen. And so forth. Let me just stop and say this, child of God, you still have victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And I hope this psalm will encourage you as it has me this particular week as I was reading through it. This is a victory song, if you will, of David. When God saved us, he gave us victory too. He too gave us victory over our enemies. Hey, may I remind you what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 57. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. May I also remind you in Romans 8, chapter verse number 37. Nay, in all these things, we are more than than conquerors through him that loved us. Think about that. We are more than conquerors. We're not defeated this morning. We can rise victorious. We can rise above the circumstances. How? Through the Son, Jesus Christ. You know, the illness, the pain, the suffering, the heartaches, they do not have to destroy you this morning. You too have victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We were once headed for hell. In danger of dying without Christ, have been for, and now we're forever saved by his marvelous grace. You have victory, my friend. Again, time's not going to allow me to go through this whole chapter, 50 verses. It would take all day. But I want to spend just a little bit of time on the first three verses. Let me just start by saying right out of the box, we serve an awesome God. We serve an awesome God. Doesn't matter where you are, whether you're in the valley or on the mountaintop, let me tell you something. The very same God that the guy on the mountaintop is serving, okay, is the same God that is with you or that person that's in the valley. You know, he's not a respecter of persons. God just doesn't show up to the one that's on the mountaintop all the time. He just doesn't bless those on the mountaintop. You know, he is close to those also in the valley. We serve an awesome God. You know, no other God can do that. There's no other God that has the capability to go ahead and go to each and every individual need and take care of them. There's no other God that can go ahead and put his hand of blessing or put his hand of calmness, if you will, upon an ailing heart or a hurt individual this morning. No other God can do that. You know, the God of Islam, you know, can't go ahead and do that. The God of Buddha cannot go ahead and do that. But God, the Almighty, the one that breathed this world into existence, he is capable of taking care of whatever need is represented in this room this morning. Yeah, we serve an awesome God. We serve a mighty God. He deserves our honor and praise. He deserves to be over and above all in our lives. We need to have a better understanding of why he deserves that praise this morning. And this morning, I'm going to challenge you to allow God's word to remind us of who he is. Listen to me. You know, God, listen to me. God's word can remind you of who he is. He's an awesome God. How often you read through the Psalms time and time again, you'll find out how awesome God is. You go ahead and you go back to the days of Joshua and Moses when God went ahead and helped them through all their battles. The Red Sea, for instance, boy, what an awesome God, amen. You know what? When Joshua went around the walls of Jericho, just a very ironic battle situation. Go around, no armor, no spears or swords or anything. No, just go ahead and march around the walls of Jericho, and the walls fell down flat. Hey, what a mighty God we serve! Hey, you know what? The God of Joshua, the God of Jacob, the God of Moses is the same God that we serve today. We do serve an awesome God. Well, we understand through his word who he is and what he's done for us and what he can do for us. Number one, first of all, let me just say our title, he's worthy this morning. He is so worthy of every single bit of moment, every single bit of time, every single bit of you, if you will. Number one, God is worthy of our delight. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength, in verse number one. At the start, David makes a couple very profound declarations. He's bearing his heart. He tells us what he's determined to do and what his decision will be. He says, I will do this. He doesn't say, I might do this. He's very adamant. He's very focused. He says, I will. The first statement you see, I will love thee. Not if my bills are paid, I'm going to love thee. Not when I'm feeling great, I'm going to love thee. Not when everybody's all friendly to me and there's no criticisms in my life, I will love him. No, there's no conditions on it. You see David right here, okay? You see him right here. He says, I will love thee. Not I might. Not if things are going well. Not if I feel like it. He says, I will love thee. God, I'm going to love you no matter what. I'm going to love you whether cancer enters my home or attacks my family or not. I'm going to love you whether I lose my job or not. I'm going to love you whether I'm deaf or not. I'm going to love you whether I'm blind or not. I'm going to love you whether I have to roll around in a wheelchair or not. I'm going to love you whether I feel like it or not. I will. You see, David here says, I will love thee no matter what. End of story. He declares also, in that same verse that his absolute dependence is upon God. He's living a faith that is not easily shaken or rattled by circumstances. He says, God, I depend on you. You see, I will love thee, and then, O Lord, my strength. He says, you know, if I go ahead and I function in my own strength, you know what? Listen to me, church. You function in your own strength, you're due for failure. You try to go ahead and live a Christian life and try to do lead your family and try to be a good worker at the job site or whatever the case may be. You know, you try to do it all in your strength, you're due for failure. You know, you see David, he says, I will love thee, but I also see through his through asking God for strength, you're my strength. He says, I will also depend on you. I'm going to get my strength from you, oh God. I'm not going to run my life in my own strength because I'm going to fail if I do, but I'm going to tap in to the strength of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to tap in to the Lord. I will depend upon you. Let me ask you a question. Do you depend upon God? Do you depend upon God? You know, maybe you're here today and there's some circumstances in your life and your faith is maybe shattered this morning, so to speak. And, you know, you don't lose your salvation, but you're rattled a little bit this morning. Let me ask you a question. When was the last time you took that issue? When was the last time you took that heartache? When was the last time you went ahead and went to a God who you should depend on, who you should glean strength from to get you day by day? You know, listen to me. You go ahead and you keep going in your own strength. Guess what? You're going to quit. I say it again. You go ahead and you keep on going in your own strength. You will eventually quit. And because you quit, you're going to go ahead and forfeit all the blessings that God wants to give you. You know, so oftentimes I see people that have gone ahead, they run their race for Jesus, but then they stumble and they get back up and they're discouraged, but they keep running a little bit, then they stumble. And you know, after about three or four times of someone, they say, I've had enough. I can't do this anymore. Yeah, you know what? The problem is you can't do this anymore. The problem is you're putting you there, and you're not saying him and I can do this, but the truth of the matter is you're trying to go ahead and function in this race of life all by yourself, and about the third or fourth time that you fall, you say, God, I have had enough. This is not fair. It's not right. But you see David here, whole different attitude. He says, I will love thee. My strength, I'm not going to get it for myself. I'm not going to get it necessarily from going to a set of barbells and exercising this way. You know what? Humanity is going to fail. My flesh will go ahead and fail me, but God's strength never fails. He says, I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to get my strength from God. I'm going to get my dependence from God. You see the two themes here. I think it's the two themes of this particular chapter. I think there are two themes that David even lived in his life. I will love the Lord. That word love means to love deeply. You know, it's a normal word for love. It's a love that speaks of a covenant love. You know, the word speaks of a tender intimacy. It's a promise kind of love. It's kind of like that marital love when you walk down an aisle and you go ahead and you make your vows to each other and you promise each other to love till death do us part and sickness and health and poverty and wealth, so long as you both shall live. You both say, you should say, I do, amen. If you say I don't, there's a problem. But you know what, this kind of love, listen to me, this kind of love is talking about a covenant, a promise kind of love. When you're facing each other at an altar, talking about a husband and wife to be, if you will, and you're just getting ready to say the vows, you say, I promise to love you till death. I love you always. Listen, that's the same kind of that's the same kind of love we're to have for our Father. You know, our Father offers us what they call an agape kind of love. That's an unconditional love. You know, and that's the kind of love that David, I see David, was offering to God. I will love thee. Again, not if, not when things are awesome. You know, it's so easy to go ahead and be spiritual when things are great, amen? You know what I'm talking about. Come on now. So easy to be spiritual, boy, when the bills are paid. Boy, how you doing? Good. God is great. You know, it's so easy to go ahead and love the way God wants you to love when your car is running good. So easy to love God the way that you should and have that spiritual, that agape kind of love, that unconditional kind of love when things are just going great and super in your life. But you take illness come. You wait till the illness comes. You wait till the job gets lost. Wait till you lose your job. You wait until all these other things. And by the way, these things can and may happen to you. And the test of your Christianity, the proof of real Christianity is when it happens, how will you respond? You know, David, you know what? He was facing danger and death. King Saul was after him. You know, of course, he's writing this at this time, and he's writing a song, if you will, a psalm of praise and victory to God and so forth. But you know what? I see a man here that even when the tough times, even when he was facing death, even when he was in constant death, he says, God, I will love thee no matter what. No matter what. Because you love me no matter what. You know, we love him because he first loved us, the Bible says. You know, that was one of the themes of his life. It was a love that was close. It was a love that was intimate, if you will. We too ought to have that kind of love for Jesus. You know, you think of the many times he's delivered you. Come on now. Yeah, but so oftentimes, you know what? You think of all the list of things that he has done for you. But you know what the old devil does? Instead of looking on the great things that God, okay, yeah, he might have done this, he might have done that. But we have a tendency to zoom right in on the one thing or the one area that's not met, been met yet. And maybe it may not be met this side of heaven, I don't know. But sometimes, you know, that's why our spirit, we kind of lose our spirit. We don't have that joy, that unspeakable and full of glory. We don't have that spring in our step, as I say so often. We don't have that peace and joy. You know, all the fruits of the spirit that you can have. You know, and again, it's so easy when you're on the mountaintop. Things are super. Hey, how you doing, sir? How you doing? Just rejoicing in the Lord. Hey, how you doing? But when you're in the valley, how's everything going? Well, how do you respond to it? When you get in the valley, how do you respond to that? How do you respond to your Christian peers? How do you respond to the Lord? David, I think, had a kind of theme in his life that, you know, I will love thee no matter what. And God says to you, I will love you no matter what. Yeah, I'm glad we serve a God of a second chance, third chance. Remember when he came to Jonah the second time? You know, you think about Jonah. He could have gone ahead and said, you know what? You rebelled against me. You are done. Boy, what joy in reading he came to Jonah the second time. But yeah, he come to me at the second time. He's come to me the third, fourth, fifth. And thank God we serve a God that no matter what, no matter when we get out of line, and we do, don't we? Yeah, come on now. Don't always match up to where we should, and we're not running the race the way we should, or, you know, we're not reading our Bible the way we should, and we're not praying the way we should, and we're not doing the things that we know that we should, and so forth. But regardless, yes, we need to get back to that. We need to be reading our Bible every day, and if the Holy Spirit's leading, showing you some things this morning that, man, you ought to be shaping up or else there's going to be some problems, you know, you need to take care of that. But I thank God that even when we are out of sorts, so to speak, he says, I love you anyways. It's an agape, an unconditional kind of love. It doesn't turn your back on you, but, you know, David had that kind of love for him, and, of course, God has that kind of love for us. Then, of course, that other theme in his life, I spoke a little bit about a moment ago, but I will lean upon the Lord. The psalmist calls, David calls it my strength in verse number one. You know, nine times in the first two verses, David uses that possessive noun, pronoun, my. My. My was the first pronoun my children ever used. My toys. My house. That's my room. That's the door to my room. I got a sign on there that says, keep out, no boys allowed. Or girls allowed. My. You know how it works. That was the first pronoun that most kids use. It's kind of their childish way of saying what is theirs. But I see David, he's expressing a simple childlike faith in using this small little word, my, in his relationship to God. He's saying that he's totally dependent upon God for everything. Every ounce of his strength comes from God. He says, my strength. Back in over in 1 Corinthians, I'll turn to a couple verses here. 1 Corinthians, Paul, the Apostle Paul. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The Bible says in verse 9, for I am the least of the apostles. I am not meet to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which is with me. Paul could only do, he's teaching, Paul could only do what he did by God's grace and by God's strength. You know, let me just say this. If you're running that bus route in the flesh, it's going to fail. God give us Holy Spirit-filled workers. If you're running that Sunday school class in the flesh, you know, you're going to be discouraged all the time. You're going to fail. Again, God give us teachers that are sold out for God, Holy Spirit-filled teachers, understanding the influence that we get to have upon those that we teach. God give us that. But he says, by the grace of God, you know, I do what I do. I'm able to accomplish what I accomplish only by God's grace and his strength. Let me ask you a quote. What can we do without him? Glad you asked. John chapter 5. 15, I'm sorry. John chapter 15. If you want to turn to it, you may. But question. Paul understood, you know, I can't do anything except through God's grace and his strength in my life. That's the great apostle Paul, by the way. And he says, you know, in the same teaching as for us, what can we do? What can we do without him? Well, let me just read here, let me just read a few verses. John chapter 15, I am the true vine, and my Father is a husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth much fruit, more fruit. Now, you understand, this is spiritual growth. Okay, if you've been saved for 25 years, you're still bearing fruit, there's something wrong, amen? But when we're abiding in Christ and when we're dwelling in Christ and so forth, you know what? We become more fruitful, as the Bible's teaching here. It's a whole nother lesson. But we should be bearing fruit, more fruit, and much fruit. We get to that. But now ye are clean through the word that which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Now, you know, that's the ultimate where we should be. Should be going from bearing fruit to more fruit to much fruit and so forth as we grow here. And then that last statement, okay, what can we do without him? Okay, let's read it. For without me ye can what? Do nothing. Is that right? Okay, so Paul says, you know, I can't do anything. I can't be the apostle that I ought to be. I can't be the kind of Christian I ought to be, except through God's strength, except by the grace of God. And that's the same for us. And so what can we do without him? The Bible says, without me, you can do what? Nothing. What? Without me, you can do what? You can do nothing. Okay, so let's flip the, you know, okay. So if you're building that route with that bus route without God, you know what? It's going to fail all the time. Without me, you can do nothing. You want to have a spirit-filled home, and maybe there's problems with the spirit of the home and different things. You know, you're not going to have a spirit-filled home except through Jesus Christ. Without me, you can do nothing. You can't be the kind of husband you ought to be. Can't be the kind of wife you ought to be. Can't be the kind of preacher you ought to be. Can't be the kind of deacon you ought to be. Can't be the kind of church member you ought to be. Can't be the kind of teenager you ought to be. List goes on and on and on. Without me, you can do nothing. But what can we do with him? We know the verse, Philippians 4:13. I can do what? All things. So without him, we can't do anything. But with him, we can do all things. I can do all things through who? Christ. Not me. not the preacher, not the deacon, not the Sunday school teacher. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. So if I'm going to be a good husband, I can be a good husband, who? Through Christ. I can have a good marriage through Christ. I can have a good Sunday school class through Christ. I can have a good life, if you will, a good work life, who? Through Jesus Christ. We get the picture. What can you do without with him? All things. You know, let me ask you a question. You know, or let me just say this. You know, some of you get discouraged. Some Christians get discouraged because you're just beating the air. And you're not plugged in. The things of God just don't get that exciting anymore. That joy that you once had just isn't there. And you're just kind of beating the air. You're just kind of going through the motions. Because you're trying to accomplish great things, but they will not be great because you're trying to do it without him. You're trying to do it without his strength. Let me just say this, without his strength, you'll fail. Well, that's why you need to have, listen to me, you need to have that personal, intimate time with God. I'm too busy. Too busy? You're too busy? You think about that for just a minute. You're too busy. You know what you say when you say that? You're not too busy for the preacher. You're not too busy for the wife or the husband, or the children. We ought to have an intimate time with God. If we're going to be able to do all things and be able to tap into his strength and power to be able to depend upon him, we got to go ahead and have that intimate time with God. But we're too busy. Think about who you're too busy for. You know, if you think about it, we can adjust our schedules to do right. All of us can. I'm preaching to the choir. You know what? I have the same 24 hours a day that you do. Amen. Well, you know, if we're going to tap into his strength, we need to go ahead and be plugged into him. And how are we going to get plugged into him? Let's get in the Word of God. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Let's walk with God. Let's have that prayer life. Have that prayer closet. Get back to doing what you were doing probably when you first got saved. You had that zeal. You had that excitement. Listen to me. He's worthy. He's worthy of our delight. I will love thee. O Lord, my strength. Because I love thee, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to depend upon you. I'm going to get my strength from you. Number two, he's worthy of our dependence. Back to our passage here. The Lord is my rock, verse number two, and I read, my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. You know what? He's worthy of our dependence. You see here from David, there's a praise for a personal God. You see that word, my, again, several times. He says, he is my God. You see that David's dependence totally is upon God. Let me ask you again, is your dependence totally upon God? We see it here, that it ought to be. David says, he is my God, he's my strength, and the whole list here. You know, the most important thing in life is knowing that you're right with God. You know, there could be somebody here this morning. Holy Spirit's already working on your heart, or he's been working on your heart for some time. Let me just say this. You know, don't keep throwing water on him. You know, maybe you sit in a service like this, and the Holy Spirit's shown his light upon you, saying, you need to get this right. I need to cut this away. You know, I want you to be able to bear more fruit and much fruit, as the Scripture says, and so forth. But you're not growing anywhere. You're not going anywhere because you're not growing, if you will. And you're not allowing the Holy Spirit to do his work. But you sit here time and time again. You know that he's trying to work in your heart, but you throw water, you quench him. Therefore, you're grieving him when you do that. Listen to me. If the Holy Spirit is shining his light, is trying to do something in your life, trying to cut away something in your life so that he can bring you to a greater fruitfulness, let him do it. Don't push him away. You know, the most important thing, Christian, right now, okay, is if you're not in tune with God, get in tune with God. Because until you decide to get in tune with God, you're not going to go anywhere in your Christian life. You're just going to remain stagnant and so forth. And let me tell you something. It's not just going to affect you. Eventually, oh, you can go ahead and show off to a certain degree and look the part for a little while. But eventually, after quenching the Holy Spirit and grieving him for so long, and you're just kind of sitting there and just saying, when is this going to get over? And you're hard-hearted and whatever. Yes, it's affecting you. Guess what? It's going to affect your family. That little girl, that little boy, that teenager. If you don't allow the Holy Spirit of God to work in your life and get you to a point where he wants you to be right with him and in tune with him, it's going to bring a bad spirit into the home, into your life. And it's not just, like I said, going to affect you. It's going to affect adversely those that follow you. That should be the most important thing in your life, Christian, is getting right with God so that you depend upon him. You need to be sure, above all, that you're saved by his grace. It's not enough to be religious. Let me just say again, if you're going to get to heaven, it's not enough to be religious. It's based upon a relationship. It's not enough to be good. There's none righteous, the Bible says. No, not one. There's none that doeth good, the Scripture says. It's not enough just to go to church or stop doing wrong things. Church, listen to me. Church is a spiritual hospital. Church is where you come to get strength. Church is where you come and praise. Church is where you come and worship the Lord. Church is when you come, and if you would come in the right attitude and with an open heart, he'll fill up your cup. You know, some of you got an empty cup. Well, you know what? And you know it's empty because the old world's been beating on you throughout the week, and it just kind of zapped your strength, if you will. And, you know, I don't know about you, but, man, when I get to church, you know, my cup may be half empty or half full, however you want to look at it, or maybe just very little. It may be empty some Sundays or whatever, and I come, God, fill up my cup. Fill my cup, Lord. You know, if you'd come with an empty cup or whatever has been used throughout the week because, man, the old devil's just kind of taken and absorbed some of your strength of you, and he does that. That's why you come to church, so you can get under the singing and the preaching and the word of God, so you can go ahead and get renewed in your strength and even become restored, if you will. And maybe there's some sin in your life that you maybe committed this week. That's when you have your confession in your own prayer closet, but it's a time to go ahead and do business with God. Church is a place to get encouraged. Church is a place to go ahead and get healed up. Church is a place for you to come. But let me tell you something. If you come to church just because it's going to save you, walking in this building does not save you. Amen. I taught that in Sunday school this morning. A denomination is not going to save you. The relationship with Jesus Christ that saves you. It's not good enough to be just religious or good or go to church and stop doing wrong things. It's not enough to join the church or be baptized. To be saved, there must be a time when you turn to Christ and him alone. In absolute faith. Listen, nothing else, listen to me, nothing else will ever work. You can go to church 52 times a year, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, youth group, whatever, every time the church doors are open. If you think that's going to get you to heaven, you're going to split hell wide open. You can go ahead and, the Bible says you ought to tithe. You can give of your riches and your talent, your treasure. You can go ahead some may even be serving under the name of Christianity. And if you think you're singing in the choir, or you're maybe even teaching a class, or whatever the case may be, just because you think it's going to get you to heaven, that's what other people teach. For by grace are ye saved through faith. Is that not of yourselves? It is a gift of God, not of what? Works. Lest any man should boast. You be careful of this false doctrine that tells you do this, 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 and this, you're good. That's what the Catholics believe. Get baptized in an infant, you're all set. No. 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 That is false doctrine and sending people to hell by the droves. By grace are ye saved through faith.
Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You see a personal praise. You see a praise to a personal God, I'm saying, from David. But you also see here there's a praise for a powerful God. David finds all the strength in God that he needs. Just in this verse, you see it. He writes in verse number 2, again, the Lord is my rock. You think about that for just a minute, a rock. You know, a rock is, you know, if you got a big boulder, it's unmovable. It's unshakable. You can't do anything. You can't rattle it out of there. You know, it's there. It's unmovable. God is our stability. We're reminded when life seems to be spinning out of control, and no doubt, maybe there's some here, you know, your life is just in a whirlwind. But you can know right here that your dependence upon God. You can know right here through David writing through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that God is my rock. He is stable. And you need to go ahead and step out on that rock, and when the problems come, and when death comes, and when trials come, you're still on the solid rock. It's unmovable. The Lord allows his people to live above the circumstances when you stand on the rock. And live above them heartaches and turmoils that saturates the world beneath. Why? Because he's your rock. That doesn't take it away. Don't misunderstand. That doesn't take it away. But you know what? When you're standing on the solid rock, and when things are just falling down around you, you've got still stability in God. David says, he is my rock. Our relationship to God gives us a different view of the trials of life. You know what kind of view it gives? It's a winning side view. I'm on the winning side. I don't know about you this morning, but you're saved. If you're saved this morning, you too are on the winning side. You know what? You are on the winning side. It gives you a different view of all that we face here on earth. I think of the spirit of worship of Job. Remember his bad day? Read Job chapter 1. I won't take time, but you read Job chapter 1. When he lost everything. Well, you know what we need is the spirit of Job. You go ahead and you read Job chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. I'll just read it. And he said, you know, think about this when he said this. He lost it all. He lost his children. He lost his farm, if you will. He lost his health. His own wife said, why don't you curse God and die? But look at, because he was on the rock, look at how he responds. He said, naked come I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, the Lord hath taken away, but blessed be the name of the Lord. You talk about someone that could have griped at God real good there. You talk about someone that could have just shaken his fist at God. But somehow he knew he was on a rock. Somehow he knew God was going to take care of it. Somehow he knew that everything's going to be all right. You know, things may not look bright this morning for you. But can I just say this? Everything's all right in our Father's house. And the very God that spoke this world in existence, the very God that is in the place that everything's okay, heaven, he's watching over you this morning. He's watching over you this morning. David said, he's my rock. David said, he's my fortress, my rock and my fortress. That means safety. It's his refuge. My mother's favorite psalm is this one right here, Psalm chapter 91. I'll turn to it for just a moment. Verse number 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, in my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. Not anything else, but in God. He's my refuge, my fortress. This spiritual warfare that we deal with from time to time, and the heartaches and the heartbreaks that we deal with and so forth and so on, you know what? It's good to know that we can go to a place that's safe. That safety is in the arms of our Lord Jesus Christ. David said, he's my refuge. David said, he's my safety. David said, he's my fortress. Moving right along, he says, God is our Savior. He's a deliverer. You know, that word refers to one who saves or rescues and delivers from danger. Hey, you remember? You know what? God went ahead and saved you. He delivered you from the pit of hell. Amen. He's your deliverer. It's a word filled with glory. It's, he not only saved us from hell, but one day we will be totally delivered from all the heartaches. You think about this. One day, you know, all this is going to be over. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me to heaven's open door. No, I can't feel at home in this world anymore. He's our deliverer. What a day it will be when we get to see him. What a day it will be when my Jesus I shall see, when I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace, when he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. He's our deliverer. God is our sovereign. David refers to him as sovereign, as God. He refers to an almighty God. Refers to one who is over and above all things and in control of all things. You know, it doesn't matter what's going on in Washington, D.C. Guess who's still in control? God is. It doesn't matter who gets elected each November, every 4 years or every other year is... as far as congressman, whatever. You know what? Let me just stop and say this. God is still in control. Doesn't matter how bad the economy is, how good it is. Listen to me. It just doesn't matter. You can rest assured that God is sovereign and he's in control. When life's spinning out of control, let me just say this, church. He's in control. He's watching over. When you can't make sense of certain things in your life, you can't make sense of disease. You can't make sense of why people would be deaf. I can't make sense of why one would walk around blind. I can't make sense of why someone would be wheelchair bound. I can't make sense of why a beloved church member died of cancer earlier this year. I can't make sense of it. I can't make sense of why this, why that. But listen to me, but I can make sense that God is sovereign. And he's in control of everything that goes on. God's our strength. Again, we alluded to that through the message. That refers to an unmovable rock. He's stable. That's how we can remain calm when we get our strength from him. You know, when things are falling down around you and you get your strength from God, that's how you can keep that calmness. You don't have to be tearing your hair out. Oh, you don't have to be that way. But when you are going ahead and you can rest in his arms, and when you can rest in his strength, the Bible says God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Present help. Think about that. You realize if you are in trouble right now, he needs your help. You know, so often we'll go ahead and we'll run to the government for help or this, that person, for help, and that's fine. You know, people may want to help you, church will want to help you, but listen to me. But when have you gone ahead and taken that sorrow to the one that gives you present help? Now help. God says, listen, I can help you now. He's our strength. He's our shield. He's a protector. In the battles and the storms, he's our security. Here in this verse, David calls him the horn of salvation. The horn is a symbol of strength and conquest. David calls God the horn of salvation, saying that the Lord is the strength of my salvation. We have absolute security with him. Let me just say this. You know what? You don't have to doubt your salvation. You know the moment you got saved? You know, you think about this for a moment. The Bible says you're placed in his hand and no man can pluck you out of it. You're secure in your salvation today. You don't have to sit here, listen to me. You don't have to see it. I guess, I might, I think, I guess, perhaps. I don't know. I'm maybe. I'm going to heaven. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know. You can have that know-soul Christianity. You don't have to guess that you're saved this morning. And listen, if you're not saved this morning, you ought to settle it. Amen. You're secure. He's never lost one yet. Amen. He's not going to start with you. He did not save you to lose you along the way. He saved you because he wants to take you to heaven. Amen. What a reunion that's going to be when we're with Jesus forever. He's our supply in verse number two. Let me just get back to where I was. I mean, my trust, my buckler, horn of salvation, and my high tower. He's our supply. The high tower refers to the high towers that were built around the ancient cities. And these towers, the soldiers could go ahead and look down on the enemies, and they'd send arrows down to them. They were more protected in the high towers. They were often stocked with ammunition and so forth, and the soldiers ran to the high towers. They were above the battle, and they were in a place of rest and safety. Hey, God's like that too. He's our high tower. War and problems and turmoil and heartache and this and that, whatever. But he's our high tower. We can rest in him because he's our high tower. God is worthy of our delight. He's worthy. He's worthy of our dependence. And he's worthy of our devotion. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. Listen to me. You know what? Listen to me. This morning, he's worthy of you. He died for you. Yet we give very little. And listen, I know we tire, we get weary. Let me ask you a question. What have you given to God? I mean, can you give a little more? I'm not talking about necessarily money. Can you give a little bit more of your time? We've only got this one life to live. One of these days, Jesus is going to come through the clouds and he's going to take us home. Glory to God. But let me tell you something, child of God, we have a responsibility to get the gospel to all around us here. But what are we doing about it? I mean, it's my time. No, it's not your time. God gave you that time. God gave you that breath. God perhaps is giving you ability to maybe even teach or preach or go soul winning and tell people about Jesus, but you fill in the blank. He's worthy of you. So often I fall short. God, I fall short. I know I do. I should have spent a little more time in this study, or I should have spent more time out on the soul winning path. I should. God, so sorry. Listen to me. He's worthy of our devotion. I wish young people you could get that and understand it. Listen to me. This life is not all about all the money you can get. You young people, you understand? Listen to me for just a moment. I don't have too many up here, but you listen to me for just a moment. This life is not all about the big bucks you can make, though I'm not against money. You need it to live. You need it to tithe. You need it to put food on. I get it. I understand it. But this life isn't about all the stuff that we can accrue. You know, you understand this for a moment. You can't take it with you. Only what is done for Christ will last. You could take that little boy or girl that God has allowed you to influence for the cause of Christ. Maybe you won that person to Christ and you discipled them. You know what? You'll see them in heaven one day. But all the money in the world that you made in this life, it ain't going with you. You say you shouldn't say ain't. Well, then don't when you preach. Amen. But it's not going with you. I got all these brand new cars and great things. Awesome. Great. And I'm not against it. But guess what? You can't take it with you. You realize you won't need a car in heaven. And God's not going to allow Chevys up there anyways. I woke somebody up anyways. But listen to me, and I'm through. I'm through. He's worthy of our devotion. He's worthy of you in that church service, Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. He's worthy of you to show up in that prayer closet tomorrow morning, open up the King James Bible and getting something from the Word of God to you. He's worthy of you falling on your face before a holy God and giving him your burdens and casting your burdens upon the Lord. He's worthy of you to meet with him in a special place tomorrow morning. He's worthy of you. Scripture says we are not our own. The Bible teaches we're not our own. We're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God and your spirit and your body. And if I missed it a little bit, you know where I'm going. But glorify God in your spirit and your body, which are God's. If we would just get to a point where it's not about us, we'd be all set. But the flesh gets in me, my, mine. Now, David used the personal pronouns in a proper way here, but me, my, mine. My time, no, it's not. Think about that for just a moment, church member. My life, no, it's not. You're not your own. Listen, God is worthy of you. Think about that just for a little while. You. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. God, we thank you for today. We thank you for being God. And you are so worthy. All of us.